Auto financing the easy way.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Side. We go and talk about a lot of things that are still important, but they're not as heavily weighted as we do, as those things are in the rest of the week. Because we like to have a little bit of fun and prepare to have some fun and enjoy our increasing freedoms as we slide into the weekend, thanks to President Donald Trump. So today got some good stuff, going to piss off some people, I can promise you that. You know, it is not my goal to tick people off every morning. Even though I know I do it, that's not my goal. My goal is just to, one, to tell the truth and expose the truth, and two, to get people to think critically and logically, and three, to have a little bit of fun and just express my own opinion about certain things. But it isn't. You know, within those top four or five reasons, there isn't, you know, pissing people off is not one of them. That's not my intent. Now, even on this partly sunny Friday morning, as we get ready for the weekend, you know, what usually happens on a Friday? Well, we usually have movie openings, right? Weekends are the time for movie openings. And a lot of people will be going to the theater this weekend, both, you know, on Broadway, off Broadway, and in the movie theaters, the big giant screen ones, the old fashioned little ones, you know, the buck or two buck movie, you know, that show a bunch of movies that were in the theaters, major theaters, you know, 6 months ago or something. What do they call second release or something is the term for that. Or you might be going to some midnight showing of a cult classic like Rocky Horror Picture Show or something. Everybody goes to the movies to do what normally? Now, occasionally, you know, we get some good documentary movies, you know, like, well, you've got Dinesh D'Souza's new flick out there that everybody's raving about. And you've got Michael Moore, who has a whole bunch of these things, and most of them have flopped, but some of them have made him a lot of money. Ridiculous as it sounds, it's true. And I guess he's got a new movie coming out that's anti-Trump, and we'll get into Michael Moore a little bit later. That is, what is it, Fahrenheit 11-9? Yeah, he flipped the 9-11 thing because 11-9 was the day that he was elected. And I guess the day that Donald Trump was elected, according to Michael Moore, it was just as bad, if not worse, than 9-11-2001. But we'll get into Moore a little bit later in the program. So people go out to the movies to try to do what normally? Try to forget or to fantasize. And I get it. I really do. That's why I watch movies. As I've mentioned before, one of my favorite genres are those ridiculously badly dubbed Kung Fu-y, Chop Suey imports from China, those Kung Fu movies. I love those things. Even the real serious and good ones, like Crouching Tiger. Men and women, just because they learn kung fu, can't fly. They can't float. They can't be faster than any other human being on the planet, where it's so fast where you can't see their fist move.
That's all fantasy. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You know, those kung fu movies are beautiful. I love the choreography of the fight scenes are fantastic. Yes, it's fantasy. But I have to emphasize that as I talk about Idris Elba. Now, I'm amazed at the number of people that think that Idris Elba would make a good or great James Bond. Now, it takes more than just having a British accent to be a good James Bond. But one of the things it does take, I mean, you don't need to be, obviously you don't need to be dark-haired. You can be a blonde Bond, and you know, the latest Bond has been blonde, and everybody, I worried about that. I'm like, well, blonde is dark hair, but let's give Daniel Craig a go. He did all right. Not going to lie, Daniel Craig was pretty badass as Bond. And even that George guy from Australia that did one Bond movie that was so horrible that I think it was the worst performing Bond movie of all time was his. But he was an Aussie. I guess he's an Aussie, right? He's not British. But he had a British accent. So they gave him a shot. Great. But there's something that they all have in common. The good Bonds, the bad Bonds, the blonde Bonds, the dark-haired Bonds. They're all white. Idris Elba, in case people don't know, is black. No, he's not African-American because he's British. As far as I know, he was born and raised in England. Yeah, they're black Englishmen, believe it or not. Yeah. But he's black. So in my book, Idris Elba can't be James Bond. Now, the whole thing about, you know, being black is, I don't know what it's like to be black in England. First of all, I've never been there. Not that I know of. I've never been there. Not in this lifetime. I don't know, as far as I know, I don't know a single black Englishman, which is really kind of weird because I know a lot of people, but I don't know a single black Englishman. I don't know what it's like to be black and English. So I can't speak for them. I can't give you an idea or a glimpse into their lives. I don't know. I don't know if it's similar to if they went through similar things there as blacks went through here in America. I couldn't tell you. I don't know if they have any problems with Idris Elba being James Bond over there. After all, James Bond is a British import. Sure, its biggest market is America, but let's remember, James Bond is British. It's a British book by a British author. He's a British character. It's filmed in Britain with a British studio. The Brits own it, own the rights to it, so it's all British. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Not complaining about it. So my whole point about Idris not being James Bond really could fall on deaf ears because I'm American and they're British. And they can do whatever the damn, you know, whatever they damn well please. I get it. But let me tell you why Idris Elba as a black man should not and cannot be James Bond. And why a lot of people out there, especially all you leftists out there, are so hypocritical. Because you're jumping up and down, oh, I would love to see a black James Bond and see it. No. Bond, although is a fictional character, he is based on real life people. Ian Fleming would flip in his grave if you caused Bond to be other than what Ian Fleming said he was. Plain and simple. The author gets to decide who his character is. Not us. We don't get to reinvent people. Look how badly Fantastic Four, the latest Fantastic Four, turned out. They turned Johnny Storm into a black kid. And they came up with a lame excuse why he and Sue Storm are still brother and sister. It didn't work. People didn't buy it. Why? Because Johnny Storm is not black. It doesn't mean that the person who played, what was his name again? I forget his name. Played him, couldn't play him well. It's just nobody would buy it. Why? Because Johnny Storm has always been a white character, but he's fiction, Rod. No, you got to understand, fiction reflects on reality. You know, people keep telling me, well, it's just a fictional character. You can make him anything you want. No, you can't. You know, there are rules in fiction, too, just like there are in real life. If I develop a character, if I write a series of books and develop a character, and I make that character black, and then somewhere down the line, somebody makes a few movies out of it and then decides, well, we're going to make this character white. Do you think people of color and other liberal white people would then stand up and say, you can't do that. That's homogeny. That's, you know, whitewashing. That's blah, this and that. It's racist. And of course you would. But let me tell you something. We don't stop with just fictional characters. Anybody see the play Hamilton? Yeah, they took real historical characters of our founding fathers, who were all white, might I add, like it or not. And in this play, the mass majority of the crew on the play, the cast in the play, was not white. They were all playing a bunch of white characters, and they weren't white. But as soon as somebody thought, now keep that in mind, because as soon as somebody, and I remember the scuttlebutt behind this one, well, there was a thought, well, you know, maybe we'll do a Martin Luther King-style fantastic futuristic biopic that's real fantasy, and we'll make Martin Luther King white. Everybody flipped the hell out. You can't do, Martin Luther King is black, man. You can't do that. Like, really? Well, George, you know, Alexander Hamilton is white, and he's played by what? Who, Leslie Odom Jr.? Who's black? Let me tell you why I don't like white, traditionally white characters being played by blacks or anybody else. They're hand-me-down roles. It's actually insulting. Because you're telling, by making James Bond black, you're telling people, well, you know, there are no black characters that people would be interested in that are like James Bond anyway. So we're just going to make James Bond black. So you're trying to appease us. Well, don't be so narrow-minded. No, I am being dead on and you know it. Because we do have black heroes and black characters that would be famous. You know, Samuel L. Jackson did a wonderful job reprising the movies of Shaft. Did quite well at the box office. How come we don't have any more Shaft movies? Why don't we have more Shaft? There were a whole bunch of them back in the 60s and 70s. Why don't we have more of them? I'll tell you why. Because the character was meant to be black. We've got Luke Cage and Iron Fist. We've got a black character, a black superhero, Luke Cage, stuck on the small screen on Netflix. Why no movies of Luke Cage and Iron Fist? Well, the main character is black. Folks, I am not trying to be a racist here. I am pointing out racism, and everybody thinks that if it's an original black character that nobody's going to like it. Well, let me tell you something. That's exactly what they thought about the movie Black Panther, and that blew the doors off of just about anything. What is it? The second highest grossing superhero film of all time. Black Panther. About a black character. Black super. He's always been black, by the way. In fact, he's always been African black. Blew the doors off of everything else. Took everybody by surprise. Well, that just goes to show how racist Hollywood really is. They had no idea this movie was going to be... They thought it was going to be a box office success, but they had no idea it was going to be the second biggest grossing superhero film of all... Did it become the best grossing? I don't remember. But can you imagine if somebody said, well, maybe we should make Black Panther white. After all, you know, I mean, this is said in honor of South Africans who are being, you know, killed down there. Nobody would accept that. As a matter of fact, if somebody were to suggest making the Black Panther movie with a white actor, you'd have had all kinds of people who are now saying, oh, it's okay for Idris to play James Bond, claiming that Hollywood is racist. Why? Well, because the character has always been black. I don't want hand-me-down characters. I don't want to see hand-me-down characters for anybody. Now understand, I am not trying to separate people into classes and races. I believe in one human race. But there are aspects of each human being, of every human being, that we can be individually proud of. You can be proud of who you are or whatever the melanin count is in your skin. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be proud to be Asian. I wouldn't want to see an Asian Bond either. I don't care if the Asian does have a British accent. That's ridiculous. Why? Because there are Asian characters and Asian spies that they could make big movies out of if they really wanted to. That Asians could identify. I guess there's also somebody else. Can you imagine? I get one of the actors. I guess that might be one of the top three or top five is a Middle Eastern. He's Arabic. Really? Oh, you want to kill the Bond series? Make James Bond, and I guess I don't know, an Egyptian or a Saudi or a Pakistani or somebody with a British accent. Oh, yeah, that'll kill Bond forever. Do that. Go right ahead. But I don't believe an Idris Elba Bond will do well. No, this does not take anything away from Idris Elba. I think I've seen him in a lot of different stuff. I think he's a good actor. I think he has a strong presence on the screen. I won't buy him as Bond. I won't. And there are a lot of movies that I have not gone to see because I don't buy the premise. I didn't see the new latest Fantastic Four movie. Why? Because Johnny Storm isn't black. That already ruined the whole thing. James Bond is not black. There are a lot of blacks who also agree with me. We're turning a bunch of white characters into black characters. Those are hand-me-downs. Those are telling the black community that you do not have heroes of your own that are worthy to be put on the big screen. And a bunch of white liberals can't seem to understand that. They seem to think that it's quite all right to blackwash white characters. I don't think it's all right. I don't think it's okay. I won't buy it. Especially when it's coming from the Hollywood liberal left. Those freaking hypocrites are telling me that we don't have characters. If you're not white, then obviously you don't have characters or heroes that are worthy of us turning into big screen films. Doesn't matter if you're black or Asian or Latino, what have you. No, you come on. Nobody's going to watch original Latino character as a hero. Come on. Not in this country. Not in the white-speaking world. Yeah, until Black Panther came along. This is all Hollywood stuff, folks. This has nothing to do with us in the rank and file membership of the human race. We all can say, you know what? This is who this character, this fictional or this real life character is. You can't automatically change their race just to make you feel better. Because if you do that, you change who the character is. If Bond becomes black, he's no longer Ian Fleming's James Bond. He's not. And therefore, he's not James Bond. They can give him the name James Bond, but he isn't 007. And therefore, you're taking Bond into a whole different realm, making a whole different set of movies and series of movies, and it's not going to be the same thing. It can't. It just can't. And by the way, you know, whether or not you think that you're so enlightened about race, the rest of the world doesn't follow. The rest of the world does not follow your liberal mantra here. Understand that. The problem is too many American and British liberals don't get it. The rest of the world is rather divided and rather racist. By the way, did you know that in Asia, outside of certain Southeast Asian countries like the Philippines and Vietnam and Thailand, well, white people aren't revered, but there are so many mixed people that are now adults because, you know, soldiers that went over there had relations with the native women, and they had babies, and they were half-breeds. But they call you Round Eye. And let me tell you something. Round Eye is a derogatory word in the Asian realm. And white people here think, oh, it's so cute because they're talking about the shape of our eyes are more round than their. No, you dolt. You idiot. In Asian culture, being called Round Eye is the equivalent of the N-word here. And when I've had some Asian people back me up on that, you want to see some of the white people, you know, their faces turn? They're so shocked and surprised. Like, you're a bunch of idiots. The rest of the world is not open and friendly and accepting like you think that it is. They're not. They're very proud of whoever they happen to be in the country that they're in. You do realize, however, that Chinese think that they're the superior culture and race on the planet. They really do. And for a long time, Japanese thought that they were it. They were the shit. They were the superior culture. And because all we normally hear of, especially in history class, is how the French and the English traded barbs and thought each one of them was the superior culture of the world. Now, everywhere they went, or you go, you're going to find people who think that their culture is the superior culture of the world. French aren't the only arrogant ones on the planet. Just saying. Even some of the shithole countries around the globe, people think you go there and those people are so damn proud of themselves and their country, they think that they're the superior culture of the planet. And if you look different from them, they'll let you know. Only in this part of the world are we so stupid as to not be able to recognize our own accomplishments from our own historical past. And by taking James Bond and making him black, you're telling black people both on this side of the pond and the other side of the pond that blacks have had no contribution whatsoever historically in these two countries. And that we've got to give you one of our white characters to appease you. And frankly, I find that to be offensive and so hypocritical and very, very wrong. Again, this has nothing to do with Idris himself. He's a fine actor. A lot of women find him sexy, too. I don't see it, but okay. That's fine. It must be the accent. But he is. He's a fine actor, and he's a very successful actor. Can't take that away from him. Not at all. But he's not Bond. He's just not. Any more than Brad Pitt can be Martin Luther King Jr. But it's Brad, man. Brad can be anybody. No, he can't be MLK. There's always going to be a difference. And a lot of times the skin difference indicates a cultural difference, which indicates an entire worldview difference, which has a different level of self-love and self-pride. And when you take somebody and you abscond and with their culture and say, I'm just going to trade you my white guy for your black guy, because your black guys aren't as good as my white guy, you're actually insulting blacks. I'm sorry you are. And I, for one, am not going to go see a black Bond movie.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Here at Tide, we want to revolutionize the taste, texture, and look of your everyday laundry detergent snack. We've mixed three different definitely non-toxic chemicals together in one package of dumb American, well, food. The chemicals work together to give your taste buds a deep cleaning of pure refreshment and whatever else this piece of tastes like. You know, I would prefer some pizza rolls, but I guess everyone else in America's eating these. Just listen to this lady we're about to cut to.
Do you try to make an after-school snack for your kids every day, but you just suck at cooking, or you're broke so you can't buy food? Well, there's a cheap alternative.
Fun fact, Tide Pods prevent cancer.
And once you're done eating that garbage, you just close the lid and put it back in the shelf, even though you're going to take it down again in 0.27 seconds because they're so good.
Tide Pods. I'm loving it.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
a lot of people haven't they made changes to Doctor Who? Was there a female Doctor Who? Now, I've never watched Doctor Who, but from what I understand, every time that they have a new Doctor Who, or most of the time that they have a new Doctor Who, the new Doctor Who isn't exactly the same person. Now, James Bond is supposed to be the same James Bond from James Bond movie 1 to James Bond movie now. He's supposed to be the same person. I guess Doctor Who, that isn't the case. Let me know if I'm wrong in that. I don't know. I've never watched Doctor Who. I was never interested, but I know there are a lot of... He's got a cult classic or cult following. So they're not all the same person. Where James Bond 007 movies, he's supposed to be the same person. And as a matter of fact, we've seen that interaction from, you know, from characters from one movie with a different Bond playing in another movie or making a cameo and Bond being recognized. So we're to believe that, you know, Roger Moore is Sean Connery, is, you know, whoever else is playing Bond. That's it. Now when it comes to, now they did open the door with Bond. Let me just say this. They have opened the door with Bond in a couple of cases with who, with the characters called M, Q and Moneypenny. It seems that instead of those being names, like we originally thought that they were the names of these code names of these people. No, it is the office title. We're now led to believe that it is the office title. So they can interchange, you know, M and Q and Moneypenny as much as they want because it's not their name. It's an office title. You know, because, you know, Dan, well, we had two or three M's in Daniel Craig Bond movies alone. So M is just an office title, not a code name for a single person. Like we originally thought to believe. Same with Q, and evidently same with Miss Moneypenny. Just saying. Although I think it's kind of strange that every Moneypenny in James Bond 007, there's always this sexual tension. Like Miss Moneypenny knows how much of a cad that James Bond is, but she actually kind of loves him anyway. But she could never, because she's a good woman, she could never allow herself to be bedded down by James because she believes she can't keep him, and she would love to keep him. Has anybody ever see those sexual tension between all the Moneypennies and Bonds? Yeah, it's there. It's always been there. By the way, Black Panther, is it? People don't even know about Black Panther is a very minor superhero in the comic book world. He's a very minor superhero in the Marvel comic book superhero realm. I'm just saying. He's rarely had his own comic book, and he's usually just made brief appearances in other superhero nameplates, you know, like Spider-Man. And I think he made a few appearances in Thor and the Avengers, but that's about it. He really didn't stand on his own as a superhero. Luke Cage was a bigger black superhero than Black Panther. I'm just saying. I mean, that's the reality of it. Yeah, I'm a comic book geek. I grew up with comic books. So that's the reality of the character of Black Panther. He was not a huge star. I liked him. I thought he was kind of cool. But he was not a huge star. And so now they made him an integral part of this. What was it, the Infinity Wars that they call this stuff? The latest. They made him an integral part. And it was a surprise to the studios that it did so well. Well, of course it would surprise them because, you know, studio magnates and leftists. As I've always said, leftists are the true racists. But in any case, that's the way that goes. That's the way I there are a lot of people that feel the same way I do. I'm not an outlier. This is not an outlier. This is not an outlying type of thing. This is reality. You just can't up and change. I mean, maybe someday, you know, when we get past this, when mankind actually gets to the Star Trek
age, who knows, maybe we will be able to change. You know, Michael Jackson tried to do it, tried to transcend race by lightening his skin and give the excuse that he had vitiligo, which was, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I don't believe that he had it, but, you know, he tried to erase racial lines and stereotypes. I get it. No, he was a music artist. He was an entertainer. He could get away with that kind of stuff. But you and me, if we ever did any half the stuff that Michael Jackson did, people lock us up in the loony bin. You know it. I know it. But we also have to be careful that we don't pigeonhole people. And anybody remember the time when Tiger Woods was first hit the professional golf circuit? And you had a bunch of black people out there. Tiger Woods is ours. He's ours. He's black. No, Tiger Woods is half Japanese. His mom's Japanese. No, he ain't Japanese. He's black. No, he's not going to deny half of himself just to make you feel better. Yeah, that was just as dumb. So we want to pigeonhole people. You can't do that. I remember people trying to do that to me. You got to pick one, Rod. You can't be both. You can't be black and Cherokee. Why not? That's what I am. I had, at the time, a big regional radio show star by the name of Tom Likas called his show one day, WRKO 680 Boston, the big voice of New England. Called his show one day because he had some black, you know, Tom Likas is white. He had some black lady on there who was completely against black babies and black children in foster care and in orphanages in this country being adopted by white families. No, don't want it. So I called in just to try to confront her and say, well, you know, you'd rather have them locked up and not have love and family at all? And she said, it's about choice, and you got to choose yourself. I said, well, no, I'm part Cherokee, I'm part black. And Tom Likas said, no, I'm with her, you got to choose. I'm not going to choose. It's ridiculous. You want me to deny, you know, probably a good nearly half of my relatives? You know, my ancestors that make me who I am? I'm supposed to get, you know, yeah, let me just get rid of my grandmother and grandfather and great-grandfather. What kind of idiocy is that? Don't deny who you are and where you came from. And with that, that also means that when it comes to fictional characters, don't deny who they are either. If you would not deny who you are, then why would you deny who somebody else is? Even if that's somebody else's fiction. Because the fiction came out of the minds of somebody real. And there was a specific purpose and reason that they thought of that particular character the way they did. And you don't have the right to change it. Any more than anybody else has a right to change who you are. Plain and simple. Nancy Pelosi. I guess she's got Democrats worried now. I got a story here. San Francisco Gate, while Democrats grow optimistic about their chances of taking control of the House in November, I don't know why they're getting so optimistic about this. I mean, it might happen. There might be a small blue wave, and they might win 20, 25 seats. Okay, I get it. It happens. This is what usually happens during a midterm. It would not be a surprise if the Democrats – now, I don't want to see it. But it would not be a surprise, especially considering, you know, the 24/7 anti-Trump bombardment from the lamestream media. You know, the lamestream media is not only the fourth estate, they're the fifth estate. They're taking up two slots because they're 24/7, man. You can't escape them. So it would not be unexpected or surprising if the Democrats were able to wrest control of the House. I have to tell you the truth, I wouldn't be all that shocked. I mean, I'd be upset and pissed because it shouldn't happen. But I wouldn't be all that shocked if the Democrats wrested control of the Senate. Now, we got razor-thin margins in both houses. So it would not shock me, especially considering how the wonderful Republicans have been reacting to Trump these past 2 years. They've been complete and total morons and idiots. So not to mention, we've already seen the salvos of how the Democrats are going to possibly cheat in certain places. Did you know that they found boxes of supposedly uncounted ballots in Ohio? How many times are they going to pull that trick? How many? We're going to let them get away with that crap? You don't put ballots in boxes and then lose the box and say, oh, look, right here, here's a whole bunch. Here's 500 ballots we forgot to count. Oh, me, oh, my. How did we lose those and set those right there? But I can't, but, you know, they were always there, I guess. Yep, they were always there. Yeah, right. So we know that's one of their favorite ways to cheat, is find ballots somewhere that weren't counted. Now, notice none of these things are dated, and they don't have anybody's names on them, so you can't tell if they're legit or not. But of course, they scream left and right. They scream bloody murder. If we don't count them, you're disenfranchising these voters. We don't know who they are. We don't know where these came from. We can't trust you. I mean, there are no procedures in place in any of these polling places that keep them from, quote unquote, losing or misplacing ballots, cast ballots. I mean, really, that at the end of the day, oh, we found 500 more. I don't know. They just came out of nowhere. I don't know. You know, these people, they need to be counted. And did I hear Hannity say that there are 170 people on District 12 voting rolls that would be at least 115 or 116 years old? 170. That's got to be Guinness Book of World Records should go to District 12, voting Block 12 in Ohio, because they would make the Guinness Book of World Records of being the oldest, most longevity type of district on the planet. Having 170 people who are over the age of 116 has got to be an amazing feat. There must be something in the Ohio water. Just saying. Now, it doesn't mean that all 170 of them voted, but I guarantee you some of them did. Well, Rod, they could be alive. Maybe they could be, but they're not. Not a damn one of them is alive. We don't have any 116 to 120-year-olds living in District 12 in Ohio. So what are they still doing on the rolls? So somebody can vote in their stead, that's why. And I bet you they're voting Democrat. They're probably registered Democrats, too. Wouldn't doubt it. Somebody want to check on that? Anyway, Democrats, while growing optimistic about their chances of taking control of the House in November, they are increasingly anxious about the presence of their longtime and polarizing leader. Yes, the San Francisco Gate is accusing Nancy Pelosi of being polarizing. Will miracles never cease? Nancy Pelosi is making it harder for many of their candidates to compete in crucial swing states. Republicans, however, cling to just a 23-seat majority in the House. They've made the House Minority Leader a central element of their attack ads and are portraying many of their opponents as inextricably tied to the liberal from San Francisco. Well, you know, the Democrat Party is like an incestuous relationship. Everybody does it with everybody. I'm serious. That's just the way party politics is. Especially when it comes to the Democrat Party. You do it our way. You know, this whole thing about having independent people in Congress, there have been some who've only, you know, the freshman congressmen, they get in one term and then they don't even bother to, you know, run for re-election, or they do a second term and then they're out on their, not because voters push them out, but because they've had enough. Because they get down there and they realize that, you know, well, hey, you're going to do what we tell you, boy. If you want to stay down here, if you want to think that you're important, you're going to do what we tell you. You're going to vote the way we tell you on certain things. We're going to allow you to vote the way your conscience in some things. You know, we've got to keep it, make it look like you're independent. But you're going to do what we tell you to do. Got it? You want to stay, if you want to stay alive down here, politically speaking, you're going to do what we tell you to do. That's the way the whole thing works down there. I've been telling people this for years, and people have coming back who are supposed to be independent. You wonder why they go down there. You know, this is a strong, independent person. And you get delusioned because they go down there and they seem to get immersed in the swamp and they become a swamp monster. Well, a lot of times they don't have any choice because they're just going to be an ineffectual leader if they don't play along to get along. Now, there are some people that really do tread the independent sidewalk. You know, we got a Ted Cruz and we got a Rand Paul. Now those people are rare. They're able to keep their heads above the swamp water. And they have the personalities to do it. But most people who get elected, who are supposedly independent, want to go down there and change the world by changing D.C., they get dunked a few times. And next thing you know, that as they pop up for air, they're a swamp monster like the rest of them. They can't resist. Because they still put it in the back of their minds that, I can still make a difference, man. If I just go along, I can get some of the things I really want to make changes. And they believe this stuff. And before long, some of them will say, you know, I can't make it. I can't do a damn thing. And they get out. Or they really get immersed and really become a swamp monster. I think that's what happened to Paul Ryan, by the way, folks. I think he really did go down there and make changes. And people in the power at time took him aside and said, listen here, boy, you're going to do what we tell you. Got it? You want to be down here? You know, you can make a lot of money. You can become very powerful. You just got to do what we tell you to do. Got it? You know, we'll give you some independence on some things. But most things we tell you to vote one way, to vote the other way, you better do it. And they kept dunking him and dunking him and dunking him under the swamp. And I think that's it finally got him. I think it finally happened that they turned him into a swamp monster. And it happens all too often. And this happens, you know, and Democrats just as bad, especially minority Democrats, black Democrats. Oh, my goodness. Trust me, most blacks do not believe what their Democrat leaders tell them. They don't. They know that they're playing the money game. But the thing is that a lot of blacks, because, you know, blacks haven't had a whole hell of a lot of opportunity. They always think, well, yeah, go ahead, get yours. Just make sure you help me get mine when the time comes. And they all get, you know, blacks get disillusioned when people get elected and they go down in the swamp and seem to forget them. They've forgotten them. Except every time it comes around election time, then they remember. But other than that, they always forget them. And black Democrats are some of the most corrupt people on the planet, by the way. I'm just saying. They are. But House Minority Leaders believe that Nancy could be a drag, and they're upset that she's not really grooming a new leadership, younger people into the party. Well, because they don't believe what she believes, and she don't believe it or not, Nancy Pelosi is evil and an idiot, and ridiculous as she is. She's not a full-on democratic socialist. Well, she's not. She might believe in single-payer health care and a few other things, but she's not a full-on socialist. I mean, I hate to point that out to people, but it's the truth. And she knows that these wonderful little youngins in their 20s and 30s of Democrats are Democrat socialists, and that's not what she wants. She didn't want that. You know, as much as she dislikes Donald Trump, she wants Maxine Waters, her good friend and fellow Californian, to shut up about the impeachment stuff. Oh, sure, Nancy Pelosi would love to get rid of Trump because that's the way you do it. And you get a Republican president, you know, Democrats want to get rid of you. You get a Democrat president, Republicans want to get rid of you. That's the game. It's the way it's always done. The same thing happened with Obama. I mean, you know, people wanted to impeach Obama. And I'm like, I don't know. What kind of high crime did Obama commit? You can't impeach him. I told people this. Well, they should impeach Obama. No, is there any evidence of a high crime that he's committed? Well, no. Well, impeachment is not a political tool. Not like that. That's not how you get rid of somebody. So people would say, well, you wouldn't use you'd use the process in Obama. I said, no, I didn't want that process to be used in Obama. As much as I dislike Obama, that process should not have been used in Obama. If he had an illegal executive order, all somebody had to do was challenge it and have it struck down. Nope, but nobody did that. I mean, that's the legal way to go. If you think a law is unconstitutional, you don't put the person who wrote the law in jail or boot him out of Congress or the White House. You take him to court because that's the way we do things. And the Supreme Court looks at it and says, no, this is really unconstitutional. And there you go. Nobody did that with Obama. It's like we were afraid to challenge the man. Oh, but we wanted to impeach him. For what? Because he kept issuing unconstitutional executive orders. Well, why didn't you stop those executive orders then? I mean, honestly. Now you're probably saying, Rod, we know he committed crimes, man. You know, the Iranian cash. Well, that needs to be investigated, doesn't it? But it wasn't. Nobody was pushing for it. Not even Republicans. But now all of a sudden, you know, we got to impeach Trump. For what? Because he's a jerk. Well, that's not what the impeachment process is for. Read your Constitution. That's not what it's for. And that it doesn't rise up to the level of an impeachable offense. You know, Donald Trump could be have the temper of John McCain. He could be a total asswipe. Still, that's not a reason for impeaching him. Sorry, but it's not. You know, Obama could be a total asswipe. He could, you know, every single one of his executive orders could technically be, you know, unconstitutional. Again, not a reason to impeach him. Sorry, that's just, look, I'm all for the Constitution. I don't care about the individual. Not in that, and not in those terms. When it comes to governance, I don't care about the individual. I care about the Constitution. We're a land of laws, not a land of men. The Constitution rises above any man. That's the yardstick that everybody needs to be measured by. And you have to take the appropriate action that the Constitution dictates needs to be taken if somebody steps out of constitutional line. And nobody did that with Obama. But it didn't rise to the level of impeachment. And Pelosi knows this, which is why she's trying to get Maxine Waters to shut up. So, you know, but Nancy Pelosi's got three problems. One, she's got Maxine Waters and her ilk. She's got the stupid young millennials coming up being socialist Democrats that she's not in sync with. And she's fighting her own age problems because the woman just gets delusional and freezes, brain freezes like constantly now. So she's fighting those three things. And I think the Democratic people, Democratic members in the House are saying, can she stand the test of time and stand up one more time and be our leader? I don't think she can, folks. I'm just saying, I don't think she can. We'll soon find out.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It was just another quiet Saturday at the Johnson home.
Honey, have you seen the hammer?
It's in the garage.
Oh, no, not the garage.
Later that same day...
Dad, I can't find the bicycle pump.
Son, I'm afraid it's in the garage.
The garage?
Then the following Tuesday...